And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday, June 23rd, 1:07 in the afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with a very, 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 very tired Bridget Riedel.
She is. I probably look a lot worse than I feel.
You look fine.
I'm wore out, so.
Yeah, you had quite a bit of damage.
We, structurally, our damage wasn't terrible after the storm that came through. But I would say, you and I were just talking a few minutes ago, we have a 22-foot trailer, and I think I hauled 19 or 20 loads out of our yard of broken trees and damages.
Man.
While we, you know, my husband was loading it with a tractor. So, yeah, it's a lot. And we were better than other places. We do not have a hole in our roof, unlike my friends just south of town. We have friends over towards the Gardner area. They are missing their roof. At Spiritwood, we have people who they are completely missing their homes.
Yeah.
And of course, Enderlin feels like the epicenter of bad right now.
Yeah. They, unfortunately, three deaths there. And, I'll tell you, I posted online that, I've been in this business 30 plus years, never seen a storm like this in terms of it was literally a hurricane that was parked over the central and eastern part of the state. Never seen anything like that before. So you had sustained 100 mile an hour winds.
Oh, yeah.
Normally you get the derecho, bam, 100 mile an hour plus winds, it blows through and then everything. Is better, but this was sustained along with tornadic activity. Let's hope we never have to see anything like that again.
So really, when you think about Friday night, you could see the build out around Dickinson. There was some heavy rain, hail. By the time it got to Bismarck, a little more hail. The winds were intensifying from Jamestown east.
It was a nightmare.
I have nothing but expletives for that one.
Yeah.
And there was two rounds for us. It was approximately 11:30. We started to hear the wind picking up. And when people say that it sounds like a freight train coming.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I could hear it. I bet I heard it for 3 or 4 miles coming at us. And that lasted about 10 minutes. We got 3/4 of an inch of rain out of there. But then around 2 a.m. was when the main event rolled in. And that was easily a half hour of those over 100 mile an hour winds. And unreal.
Ugh, it's just, and we were talking off air. Mm-hmm. If this happens, because the crops are pretty much they're still young. If this happens 3 weeks later, we're looking at a huge loss in terms of ag.
August 2020, there was a derecho in Iowa that leveled a lot of their corn. Some of it came back. There was a lot of unharvestable acres. When you look at the way we farm in North Dakota, we had soybeans planted into cornfields from last year. And so you have stalks and you still have plant material in the field. So what that did was that just acted like an SOS pad that went across the field and just scrubbed out all those young soybeans. Mm. So we have areas where we have no crop whatsoever. My greater concern, and we're going to talk about this probably later today as well, the number of bin sites, grain handling systems, grain bins, farm equipment that's damaged is going to really impede harvest. There are 4 elevators right around me that are all damaged, and they would be receiving grain. You know, technically, we could start wheat harvest probably August 1st.
So that has to go somewhere else now.
Don't know where that's going to go because you got to start thinking about trucking and who's going to be able to handle it, and that adds to your costs.
Right.
There's a lot to consider right now, which thankfully we have a great guest in today. By chance, we're going to have Lynn Paulson. He is the Senior Vice President for Agriculture at Bell Bank and Ag Lending. And we have a lot of questions for Lynn that we're going to get to here. But Dean, as far as weather is concerned, I'd like to never see this again, if you could.
Boy.
It'd be awesome.
I know. And it looks like we've got another round, or the potential of another round of severe weather as we head into Friday night and into Saturday. And,
oh, goody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's hope it doesn't. That looks like more of a derecho event. So, but again, we'll fine-tune that as we head into the upcoming week. But a gorgeous day today. Mother Nature giving us a break. We've got a little bit of a breeze out of the west and partly cloudy skies. Temperatures about a good 10 degrees below normal in the low 70s today with west winds at 15 to 30. Tonight, down to 49. Clear skies. Good sleeping weather tonight. And then Tuesday, south winds about 5 to 15. Warm warming us up into the upper 70s. And then increasing clouds Tuesday night. We'll have scattered showers and a few thunder showers, non-severe on Wednesday. Highs in the low to mid 70s. We'll continue that into early Thursday with mid to upper 70s. And then heat and humidity return for the end of the week. And that's going to be fuel for more storms. Some of those could be strong to severe Friday night into early Saturday, with highs on Friday and Saturday in the mid to upper 80s. So at least we're seeing a break in the weather. This is good for cleanup. We're not dealing with the hot and humid conditions out there to start off the week, at least for the first couple of days before rain comes back in the forecast. But we have to try and get a qualifier here for our great grocery giveaway.
After this weekend, people need $10,000
of groceries. They are going to need it.
A lot of freezers got cleaned out if you didn't have a generator this weekend.
Man. So today's qualifier is Michael Fowler. Michael Fowler of Walcott. You have 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call. 701-293-9000. That's 701-293-9000. Michael Fowler of Walcott. You've got 9 minutes, 70 seconds to call to be qualified for the great grocery giveaway. And if you know Michael, shoot him a text. Say, hey, they just called your name. You got to get calling in there soon.
You know, one of the other nice things that we do is once a month we have our assistant ag director join us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. And we actually have our student coming tomorrow for the month of June. That'll be Naomi Miller. She is from the Kindred High School. But our very first was Jocelyn Berkland. And she is from Enderlin, from the Enderlin FFA chapter.
Oh.
And Jocelyn, God bless her heart, she sent me a message this morning that said, the Enderlin FFA chapter is working in conjunction with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and they are going to help with the cleanup process. So tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m., they are asking area FFA members to meet at the Enderlin Fire Hall. There will be meal and refreshments for those volunteers, but they are asking the students to help walk fields to pick up debris for farmers.
That's great.
That is tomorrow morning. Again, that's 8:30 at the Enderlin Fire Hall. If you are an FFA member, if you are 4-H, whatever you may be, as a student, if you can come out and help, they would really appreciate the extra hands on deck.
I'd imagine you got to be careful walking those fields too now with all the with the debris and nails and whatever.
Well, there's a lot of that. I've seen some entire shops that are gone right now, so there's tools and whatnot. Mm. We're going to find that for a long time coming, probably a couple of harvests with some combine headers, which nobody wants to hear about. Some folks are just going to have to go get their grain bins back out of fields because the whole bin is gone and laying in a field somewhere.
Man.
Lots and lots of damage. And it's so widespread. I feel like, and somebody please correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you're going from Jamestown to Hillsboro with damage, and then it extended all the way to Bemidji, but you have Jamestown to Hillsboro, and I heard damage as far as from Amenia to Cooperstown, that's like 100 miles by 100 mile swath.
Mm-hmm.
That's unreal.
Yeah. And try to look at the positive side. I know it's difficult, but if this would have hit Grand Forks or Fargo,
major urban
the
areas.
Devastation would have been immense with sustained 100-mile-an-hour winds. Oh,
how eerie is it that it happened on June 20th, which is the anniversary of the major tornado that wiped out Golden Ridge and Fargo?
This will go down in the record books. We will not see. It was basically a Cat 3, Cat 4 hurricane parked over the central and eastern part of the state. I can almost guarantee you that won't happen again.
My internet service has been terrible over the weekend, and I might be overtired. Something to the tune of this was the 25th worst storm in the U.S. Maybe you would even classify it as a tornado. I'm not sure what the classification was.
In terms of damage? In terms of...
Damage and devastation, I think. It was like the 25th worst. Maybe they called it a tornado. I don't know what they called it.
No, It was a derecho event, most of it.
Oh, it was derecho.
Yeah. But it was, because there was only 3 confirmed tornadoes.
Okay.
So the tornadoes, unfortunately, those caused the deaths.
Yeah.
But the derecho and the sustained 100-mile-an-hour winds, basically the hurricane that was parked over the state, that did the damage. I didn't see it ranked, but it'll be interesting to see
goes down. You can't believe everything you read on the internet, especially when you're like 2 days late and a dollar short in the whole operation. So
before we go to break, again, our great grocery giveaway.
And it looks like our phone line's
qualifier
blinking.
Is Michael All right. That's we got somebody calling. Hopefully that's Michael.
Hopefully that's Michael. It'd be great if he was calling in to qualify for $10,000.
Let's take a break real quick. Okay. And when we come back, if that's Michael, we'll put him on the air. And then after that, we have our guest, Lynn Paulson, Senior VP of Ag Banking at Bell Bank. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And we're still waiting for our qualifier for our great grocery giveaway. Come on, Mike. You can qualify for $10,000 in groceries. Michael Fowler of Walcott. We need you to call in. You got about 2 minutes left. Again, that's Michael Fowler of Walcott, 701-293-9000. And on line one, we have Tom on line one. Tom, you've got a question.
Yeah, real quick, Dean. I won't take much time. When was the last time death in North Dakota occurred from a tornado?
Oh, that's a very good question. You know what? I will message the National Weather Service.
Right. Because the first one that comes to mind is Golden Ridge that we just had that same anniversary on Friday, June 20th.
Right.
Right, but that's only 68 years ago.
Yeah, there may be more since. I don't remember.
Yeah, Tom, that's a good question. Let me do me a favor. Shoot me that question, weather@flagfamily.com. And then once I get the answer back from the National Weather Service, because they have all those records, I'll shoot you an email back and let you know when that was. That's a good question, though. Yeah. It's been a while.
I would think so.
I would imagine. So, all right. Okay. Thanks for listening, Tom. Appreciate it.
And we thank Tom for calling in. That's the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. We will have continued discussions about everything that's happened weather-wise, and we ask you to keep calling us or emailing us, weather@flagfamily.com. All right, so today with us, just by chance, I had Lynn Paulson coming in. Lynn is with Bell Bank. He is a Senior Vice President with Ag Lending. So, Lynn, have you gotten some phone calls from some farmers in the last weekend hours?
We have. They started on Saturday morning and continued through Sunday. And, it's a good reminder that Mother Nature is still very much in charge, and it has a way of humbling people really quickly.
Unbelievably fast.
It is.
Okay, so let's just start with, as a farmer, my first call, of course, if I have damage, and we have significant damage with farm shops, grain handling operations, my first call is my insurance agent. How do I begin to have that conversation with you as my banker? What do I need to know?
Yeah. You know, I would say the first thing is possibly to step back, right? And it's easy to lead with the heart and not the head.
Sure.
There's certain things. I mean, obviously, you got to get cleaned up right away. You got to take on some of that stuff. But I think, I actually went through a similar deal way back in my life when I had a dairy facility that burnt to the ground, right? And the next morning, I wanted everything set. I wanted to know exactly what was happening with my insurance agent, what my next steps were, whatever. And as it turns out, it maybe takes a little time. You got to step back, catch your breath a little bit, and decide what to do next. But from a lender standpoint, I mean, I every lender that I know are there to help, whatever, and we're not there to complicate lives. Things like that. So, but I think you touched on it earlier. I think the major crisis is all the grain storage that's gone, right? I mean, you just don't replace that grain storage within a month, 6 weeks.
Right.
And what's going to happen at that? So, machinery and equipment, you can replace that, right? I mean, there's possibilities of doing that. But that grain storage, that's going to be a big issue, not just for farm producers, obviously, but for, some of your grain cooperatives and those folks.
And have we seen anything like this before and that you can recall where it's been so widespread in terms of damage that's really going to cost quite a bit of money?
Not in this immediate area. I was in Iowa shortly after derecho in 2020 and, how that went through the bulk of Iowa and took out a lot of grain storage.
That was horrible.
And last year, I was right behind the derecho in South Dakota and the damage that did as well. But in terms of our immediate area, I've probably not seen anything of this magnitude, right? And, it's one thing to have a tornado, but like you talked about, the derecho is like having a hurricane going through at the same time.
Yeah.
It just exasperates everything.
Mm. And like you said, there's some pretty immediate needs of, okay, whether my house is damaged, is my family uninjured? Yeah. Then you start thinking about the buildings, et cetera. But also, you had a crop out there in the ground, and you've got an operating loan on it. So, as a lender, I know that you're not going to make that agronomic decision for them, but if they had a soybean field that got wiped out, we can still plant soybeans for another few days. Mm-hmm. Do you start making that recommendation to put more money into that crop, or what would that look like, Lynn?
I think most lenders wouldn't make that recommendation. They would follow the lead of the producer, right?
Sure.
And their crop insurance agent. You know, one of the big things that we talk about, you know, even with our borrowers, you know, at the time we renew the loans, is that we really talk about, you know, take a good look at your insurance policy. Do an annual review.
Yes.
I think what people are going to find is that there's been so many times it's just been renewed. Their schedule of insurance is inaccurate. Maybe what they've lost isn't on the policy. I think because insurance rates have gone up a lot, mm-hmm. maybe some folks have put some exclusions in their policy just to lessen the premium. So I think the first thing is to really understand what your policy is and what's covered and what's not, and then, you know, take the next steps from there.
That's the unfortunate thing. You're exactly right. This is a horrible time to find out what wasn't covered.
Exactly. When I had the fire in my dairy facility, that's the first time I read my insurance policy was at night, right?
Oh, like, oh God. That's a time.
Yeah, that's the time, right? You just kind of assume.
And frankly, having talked to my insurance agent this morning, the conversation was, yes, you probably have some minor damage, but most companies are currently triaging their claims. So if your house is missing, if you are missing the roof, et cetera, you're certainly going to the top of the list for adjusters and claims and so forth, which we all get, but we all have to have patience. I mean, you have a hole in your roof, but you still have part of a roof. You're probably going to get triaged a little bit further down. So everybody's just got to be a little patient. I know they're coming to help us all. It's just going to be a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean, you want to do it right, not fast, right?
Yes.
I mean, and everybody wants not a quick fix, but it's a life-altering situation, and you want to get control as quick as you can get control. But you know, at some point, you just need to step back and, as much as possible, let the process play out.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind that there's some, like you said, there's some real front burner needs that you need to keep track of. But it'll really test the resilience of a lot of folks. But I clearly would not bet against the resilience of farmers and producers.
The stress level to have to sort through all of this and then think about, all right, so that half section of soybeans is gone. Do I replant? Do I not? Do I put more money into where I'm at? I mean, those are some big decisions as to what's got to happen right now.
Now, in terms of, and Bridget, I'll throw this out to you, with the grain mm-hmm. elevators and everything that was destroyed, how long, I mean, speaking about resilience, how long does it take to replace something like that?
I'm sure, you know, first of all, you got to assess your damage. What's wrecked? Is it the head house on the top that does all of the movement of that grain throughout that building? Is it just some tin off the side, et cetera? What does it look like? South of Hillsboro, there's a very large grain handling facility. It looks like their scale house exploded. So the building and structure can probably be put back. The scales maybe okay, but you've got a lot of electrical, right? You've got those probe arms. And just remember, as Lynn was saying, you better know what your insurance coverage says. Additionally, we're all facing additional tariffs on steel and aluminum. So all of our costs to replace have now gotten significantly higher. Mm. And there's going to be a long waiting list of who's going to be able to do this stuff. We have so many more questions, and please stay with us. We want to go through the news at the bottom of the hour, but we have with us Lynn Paulson. He is the Senior Vice President for Ag Banking at Bell Bank. Please send us your questions, 701-293-9000. You can reach us, weatherorag@flagfamily.com for our emails, and you can be watching on YouTube and Facebook, as well as Acres TV at Weather and Ag in Focus. Much more to come. We'll be back. Well, with so many things going on in the region, I took the time to drive by our wheat field for our Here We Grow project, where we're custom farming 20 acres of wheat this year with our farm cooperators, Jim and Michael Euland of Prosper, North Dakota. Our wheat was at jointing like about last week, Thursday night, I think I looked at it. So our wheat's progressing. We didn't really have much damage. Our signs look a little rough, but you're still welcome to go find them. And a thank you to our sponsors. One of them is ND Estate Services. This is going to be a great time to call Mark. Some of you are about to make some transition plans you weren't even thinking about, and you're going to want to do that with Mark at ND Estate Services. But then also Thor Buildings. Let's face it, there's some rebuilds that are going to be happening, and those post-frame construction buildings, like those done by Thor Buildings, can be a structural miracle in order to protect you from damage. So give those folks a call. Lynn Paulson, who is with Bell Bank, he is a senior VP for ag lending at Bell Bank, is with us. And We've had some great conversations off air. One of the questions I wanted to ask today was, we may have some farmers that, based on where they are in their finances, their age, whether or not they have an heir, is this the opportunity for them to say, I cannot financially recover from this, and they may leave farming?
You know, I think in the short term, I think people have those thoughts. I think as they step back, take a look at things, whatever, I think let the process play out. I don't see a lot of that happening, right? I mean, it's you may find it in an occasional situation, but I think most guys are like I said, so resilient, whatever, they're going to almost take this as a challenge, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go out like this.
Right.
and so I think that's some of what you'll see. But in the short term, it is just like, you know, what's within my control? What can I control? You know, what's my next step? It's really hard.
Oh, man. There's going to be some very big conversations, like you said, not only for insurance, but bankers had a lot of phone calls this weekend. And anything that stood out to you that you were hearing as folks were calling you just to make you aware of their situations?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody wants to kind of reach some certainty in an uncertain environment. And that's difficult, right? But I think most all bankers that I know, and Bell and every ag banker, I think the first thing they'll say is, are you doing okay? Right?
Right.
You take care of yourself personally, take care of your family. The financial realities are going to be there. We'll deal with that when the time comes. But first of all, you know, make sure that you're emotionally healthy and able to deal with some of the economic realities that are coming down the line. And then, but once you get, you know, obviously the insurance information and what the next steps are, like we talked about the insurance policies to know what's in it. You know, there's likely going to be some gaps between maybe what you have for coverage and what it costs to replace. And that comes at a time when working capital levels have been compressed, and it's going to be, you know, kind of adding insult to injury right now.
Right now it is, yes. Yeah. You know, and Lynn made a great point earlier, and he said, don't be too proud or be afraid to take the help.
Yeah, I think the farmer's biggest strength is also their biggest weakness, right? And that's their independence. And I don't need help. I'll take care of it myself. But it's a great way for people who want to help to help. It's a way for communities and areas to galvanize and come together and, you know, all work through this. And I think at the end of the day, ironically, I think it strengthens some of these relationships.
Oh, I think there's no doubt at this point. So when you are looking at a farm loan, et cetera, and I don't know how to ask this question without sounding like a complete dork, but, you know, we have a lot of farms where, you know, you may have like your house as part of your farm loan. Is there a case to be said here where maybe that should be separate? Or does, I mean, can this type of thing affect you negatively? Yeah. I'm not really sure how all that should or should not tie together, Lynn.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I would say that most farm loans or farm real estate loans out there are for basically bare land crop or pasture farming, right? There's occasions when we take the farmstead as additional collateral. But to be honest, you know, unless it's close to a metropolitan area and that type of thing, from an appraisal standpoint, from a contributory standpoint, homes don't necessarily offer a lot of value
for lenders,
right? So oftentimes we will exempt those out. But if they are part of the mortgage, obviously there's insurance coverage. Banks are named loss payable. You got to work with them because every insurance check you come get is going to have your lender's name on it, right?
Right.
And you know, what are you going to do with that? So, but I think most lenders are real empathetic with what's happening here.
And I would venture guess many people have such a good relationship with their lender. They all need to talk to each other. You might be out there pulling some of their limbs and helping them out.
Yeah, exactly.
You have an event coming up, the Ag Views, correct?
Correct.
And that is, I don't remember the date, it's like the third week of July. I just registered.
We actually do 3 days. It starts on July 21st here in Fargo. It's a Monday.
There we go.
At the Hilton Garden Inn. And this is like the 11th annual one that we've done. And they're really well received. It's Dr. Dave Cole and myself. And Dr. Dave Cole is by far the most preeminent ag finance expert in the country. And he's been doing this for north of 40 years, but he is highly entertaining. I mean, he's anything but a stuffy
right
economist, right?
Right.
So,
And he brings such global insights that we need to hear and see, because we forget sometimes that agriculture is more than just our county.
He really does. I mean, he takes, you know, the global, and he'll bring it down to a local level, right? Both global and domestically, what's going on. And, you know, we talk about it being AgriView's Live, but it's for all economic sectors, right? Because we all have some type of relationship to agriculture, whether we live in South Fargo or whether we live in Enderland. I mean, we all have a connection to ag. So, So whether you're a producer, whether you're a landowner, whether you're an agribusiness, whether you're, you know, anybody, it there's value in it, right? Because it's on a much broader scale.
With Ag News Live, to give you a perspective of how well received this event is, I mean, again, you mentioned, Lynn, 11 years that you've been doing it. Last year, I got to the event, and in true radio fashion, I had to get off air and come in late. But I did, and I sat down at a table and then looked around, and lo and behold, here sits one of my college fraternity sisters and her daughter, who is in high school. And she said, I wanted my daughter to come because we do business with Bell Bank. I wanted her to hear what her future holds. And in fact, that daughter is going to be on air as our assistant ag director in August. I just talked to her last night.
That's perfect.
But that's the kind of audience you have for this event, Lynn.
Yeah, we literally have people from 10 years old to 95 years old.
You do. You've got a lot of grandkids
really
in the room.
We really do. So we tell people to bring a friend, bring a client, bring a colleague. But I don't think you'd be disappointed. And one of the things that we really kind of that's evolved or morphed over the years is that we spend the last hour, and we call it the ESPN hot seat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we just sit down and we take questions, all questions. They're highly entertaining, but we don't shy away from them, right? And that's really, we want to talk about what the audience wants to talk about as well.
Which, that's why people come to this. They want to get their questions answered.
And Cole and I don't always agree, by the way.
So. That is true, actually. Yes. So as we think through, that event is coming up. We've just had a wild weekend with devastating weather and what happened to people's farmsteads, et cetera. There is a positive, and one of those is the folks in the cattle business. So hopefully you've got a lot of that on the books, where cattle guys are doing really well right now.
You know, it's interesting. I've been doing this for north of 40 years, and this is the most bifurcated ag economy I've seen, you know, in terms of the cattle guys, especially cow-calf guys, doing really, really well, and God bless them. They deserve everything they
needed,
right?
They needed this bad.
And then you've got your row crop folks that are struggling and probably will for some time. And we talked about the tariffs and all those type of things that are outside their control, and what the end game is there. And you know, to be honest, I don't see that positive profitability coming back in the grain sector anytime soon. And we're going to have some government payments, right? I think Secretary Rollins has already telegraphed that, but you know, how much is the political will and money there to do that year after year after year?
Right? Absolutely.
You know, at some point, we got to find a home for this and figure out profitable. And that's why some of these operations will, you know, we call our AgViews Live is a time to call an audible, right? Because you may have to pivot pretty quickly as circumstances change.
Well, Lynn, this is an opportunity that you have some of your customers who are listening. Are there things that you want them to hear? What advice, what ideas, programs, anything that comes to mind from Bell Bank that you want people to know about?
Yeah, we're bankers, right? But you still have to know your numbers.
Yeah.
It's still a numbers game. We realize it's a lifestyle, everything else, but it's still a numbers game. You still have to know what your break-even levels are. You still need to know what your cost of production is. You know, to keep doing things the same way over and over and over again and expecting different, I mean, that's insanity, right?
So, yes.
So you got to be willing to.
Farming is insanity, Lynn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. So it's you know, and I think the other thing is we're coming up in the next decade, a huge intergenerational transfer of wealth here,
yes.
Right? And we talked about these older producers and, you know, the younger producers, you know, they're going to school right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really good lessons to be taught and learned if they're listening, because a lot of the young folks, with all due respect, haven't had too many bad days in farming, and this will be a character tester. But I've seen our best loans, the best operations were made in tough times.
Yeah, absolutely. So strengthen those relationships. Don't shoulder the stress alone.
Exactly.
And we know that as bankers, as business people, they're there to help and going to try to give best advice whenever they can.
We're only as successful as our producers, right? So,
well, and a long record of success with Bell Bank. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we've got more weather and some headlines. In fact, one of the things, Dean, I want to make sure we talk about is all the stuff going on in Iran, because that's going to affect us twofold when it comes to agriculture.
Great.
So we'll have to make sure we squeeze that today.
We'll hit on that. And a quick look at the forecast, all that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:52 in the afternoon. Let's do a quick recap of the weather, and then we'll hit some ag topics here. And we're looking at we need some nice calm weather here after what we went through this weekend.
I would love some.
So we got a couple days of it before more rain hits. So hopefully we can get a lot more cleanup done here over the next couple of days, because Mother Nature is cooperating. We've got breezy conditions out there this afternoon, west at 15 to 30, but temps right around the 70 degree mark. We'll make it up another degree or so into the low 70s this afternoon. Pleasantly cool tonight. Good sleeping weather with lows in the upper 40s and light winds. And then tomorrow, winds pick up a little bit out of the south, about 5 to 15, and highs in the upper 70s. Clouds increase Tuesday night, and then a pretty decent shot for showers, maybe a few thunder showers on Wednesday. The majority of that system passing through South Dakota will be right on the northern end of that, with highs in the low to mid 70s. Some leftover showers on Thursday, mid to upper 70s. And then I'm more concerned about the weekend. We do warm up. Heat and humidity return mid-upper 80s. And a good chance for storms Friday night and Saturday night. And if they do develop, the atmosphere is primed that those could be severe. Right now, just too early to tell. Hopefully they don't develop. We don't need back-to-back weekends ruined here. And it looks like if it did develop, it'd be more of a derecho event, which, again, that's not what we need either. So
one of us just blinked real hard.
Yeah. So again, that would be Friday night and Saturday night. And again, this is, 4 or 5 days away. This could change, and fingers crossed it does.
Actually, that would be great. Granted, it is summer. We get storms. Hopefully we would like to see less severity. I know that there are plenty of folks out there that are saying, well, climate change it has something to do with that. These storms could have happened 200 years ago, but nobody was here to tell you.
Right.
We don't have any documentation of it. So this is just what we're dealing with, right? And we have a lot more as far as structure, et cetera, than we ever did before.
Yeah, correct.
Absolutely.
So there is going to be more damage when they do come through.
Yeah. And you asked a question off air about livestock.
Yeah. Was there any livestock loss in this?
No one has reported anything major. Critters know well in advance of us that something bad is coming, and they tend to find a way to protect themselves. Unless they are struck by flying debris or, live out a scene from the movie Twister. Look, there goes a cow.
Right.
We think that overall, most livestock was okay. If someone has heard differently, I would like to see that or hear that. So far, I've not received any notifications from North Dakota Stockmen's Association or Livestock Alliance. So,
good.
So far, that seems good.
Good.
We mentioned Iran.
Right.
Okay, because Monday couldn't get any weirder. Due to everything that happened in Iran this weekend, we have two things that could affect us. One, if the Strait of Hormuz closes or is held captive, which is unlikely, but if it did, that would tie up fertilizer shipments for us that we would want coming in for later in the year for fall, etc.
Where does the majority of fertilizer come from?
Well, it would pass through there if you have things that are coming from Russia, other places, etc. I mean, we'll have to get out a map
and
look at all of it.
So we couldn't get anywhere else.
So,
in other words,
there's different. It depends what you need. What is the particular thing? Do you need phosphorus? Do you need nitrogen? Most of our potash comes out of Canada. So it just depends what might be coming through there.
Okay.
We'll see what that could do to the market. Our fertilizer markets have stayed high and kind of plateaued up there. They're not dropping right now, which normally we'd see people making good buys in July, but we haven't had an indicator of that in the market at this point. And then additionally, Iran flat out said, we're going to target you with cyber attacks as the U.S. And one of the top targets is agriculture.
What would that do? When they say they're going to target, if they're targeting agriculture, how would they target our ag community?
Ransomware, malware, they can get into our food processors and shut down entire systems, right?
Whoa.
Which has happened before with Dole, with JBS, with major grain elevators like CoAlliance in Ohio, where you come in with your semi at harvest, they can't scale your truck. You don't know your weights. They can't probe to check, you know, which we normally do to, you know, to check for quality when it comes in. We can't move grain. We can't cut checks. We can't process. Those major processors, but also to small farms. And that's where Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm talks to us all the time when Chris comes in. He's our cyber superhero, cybersecurity superhero. And he talks about the fact that even as farms, if we're not paying attention to what's coming in through our email, malware, ransomware, et cetera, we may think, I'm a small farmer in North Dakota. Nobody cares. But they do. And they're looking to take your banking information because now they can take your wealth. And they want our wealth mm-hmm. as much as anybody. I also think that based off of all of these storms, we all need to be extra diligent about potential scams and spoofing from whether banks, insurance companies, et cetera. So we still have to be fully alert as to what's happening to us electronically, as well as what's been happening physically in our lives. Hmm. That's a lot to consider on a Monday.
That's too much stress, man. And, I mean, if you're really...
And Lynn was great about saying, don't shoulder it alone.
Right.
Because we just came off of May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month, and all of these things are going to weigh very heavily on people. I'm sure if you farm, your responsibility to the fact that my house is destroyed, what's going to happen for my wife, my kids, other family members who rely on me, what happens then in the case of how am I going to operate now that this tractor's damaged, my shop is blown away, I'm short grain bins, where do I start? And so all of that has to be taken into consideration. And, you know, if you know folks, just stop and ask them how they're doing, and much to the end of letting people give you help too.
Right.
Be willing to accept.
No doubt. Well, for Bridget, myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Big thank you to all the people volunteering to help for cleanup. It means a lot to a lot of people. We all appreciate that. But don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.